It's time for the Apple Watchcast. Apple announces September 15th virtual event with a cool AR logo, and new Apple Watches and iPad Air are expected. Apple Watch water ejection may be coming to the iPhone and iPad, and a funny new commercial from Apple about privacy. Plus reviews of Logitech Stream Cam, Robinhood app, NFL Sunday Ticket, and refurbished Macs. This and much, much more. It's all coming up next on the Apple Watchcast. The Apple Watchcast is brought to you by the wonderful support of our Patreon subscribers. Become a patron of the Apple Watchcast, and for as little as a dollar a month, you can help us keep producing this show and get a little something extra in return, like access to bonus episodes, Apple Watchcast gear, and even be a guest on the show. So check out our page at patreon.com/Apple Watchcast to subscribe and become a patron of the Apple Watchcast. This is the Apple Watchcast, episode 345, recorded Wednesday, September 9th, 2020. Apple Airbags.
It's time for the Apple Watchcast. Apple Watchcast, a podcast dedicated to the Apple Watch.
It's time for the Apple Watchcast, where we talk about any and everything Apple Watch, Apple's most personal and healthy device yet, and the number one watch in the world. I'm your host, Tom, and joining me is Vincent. Welcome to the show, Vincent.
Coming to you in AR.
Yes. Yes, we get to talk about that. Also joining us is Chris. Welcome to the show, Chris.
Hey, guys. Good evening.
So, Chris, where are you coming from, coming to us from tonight?
I am at an undisclosed location, just away from Knoxville for a couple of days, and I forgot all my equipment. I'm on my iPad and my AirPods.
Hey, it works. We can hear you. Yeah. So not a problem. Yeah. Great. Yeah. Interesting week. There's a couple of things I want to mention. I had a couple of interesting things happen this week with my watch. That kind of makes you appreciate the technology and how far we've come. Because I think, at least for me, it's very easy to take this for granted after a while, right? Especially since I haven't left the house in the last 6 months except to go to the grocery store or go for a run. Okay, basically. So speaking of ordering grocery, I ordered them online and I went to pick them up. And I absolutely love the curbside service, by the way. I started doing some of that even before all of this nonsense. Mm-hmm. And halfway there, I realized I left my phone at home. And then just about that time, I got a call from the grocery store with an update on my order, and I answered it on my watch, and it was the most clear call, no issues, absolutely perfect. And that is an amazing situation if you really think about it. Mm-hmm. Is the fact that I had that conversation on my watch without even, you know, no disruption, nothing. And they didn't know. I'm sure they had no idea that I was on a watch and not on a phone. And then the next day, I was out for a run. And again, I only got the watch with me, right, not my phone. And I got a notification from Buddy Watch, right? Because right now I'm beta testing their new app, by the way, which is why that was even possible. Buddy Watch, for people who don't know, it's the site that lets you share watch faces if you're using watchOS 7 beta right now. So I was walking between miles, I'll take a little bit of a walk, and this notification popped up. So I tapped on it. It was a new watch face that they had just posted. It looked pretty good. So I tapped install. My watch blinked a few times, and the screen said, "This face uses a photo. Do you want to add it?" Said yes, a few more blinks, and that new face with complications, colors, and the photo was now my watch face.
Cool.
So just like that, in the middle of a run, I changed the face to a custom one with about two taps and no phone involved at all. It's just amazing to me. So this was a great test of this new app and what it can do. As you can tell, I'm a huge fan of this face sharing and of this website and app. If you're on the developer or public beta of watchOS 7, you can go to their website at buddywatch.app And look for the app to come out probably after the release of watchOS 7, I would imagine. Anyway, it's great, and it's a lot of fun. This by far is the most exciting feature, I think, of watchOS 7 for me.
Well, good. That sounds pretty neat, Tom. I can't wait.
Now, if we can just do this with bands, I can just tap and it changes to a new band. That would be fantastic. But
I just want Nick Cage and John Travolta to do this.
Anyway, we've got a lot of stuff to talk about. I didn't want to get too far off track here. We were all excited last week for what may have been the release of Apple Watch Series 6, according to a famous leaker by the name of John Prosser, who doubled down the day before and said that his sources are not budging, that it's going to happen. Well, it didn't happen. So what we did get from Apple was an official invitation, if you will, to a virtual event for this coming Tuesday, September 15th. And, as usual, people try to read all kinds of things into these invites. And this one was an Apple logo that's made out of, I don't know what it is. It's a kind of a tube blue shaded thing. And it says, join us from Apple Park, September 15th, 2020 at 10 a.m. Pacific time. And a little click to add to your calendar. And now, so they apparently sent this out to members of the press and the public to tune in. Now, did either of you get this as an email?
No.
I did not get it as an email. I did not. You really? Did, Vincent?
I got.
No.
No, you didn't either?
No. No. Not this morning.
Huh. I got it. It was yesterday. I got it on two different email accounts.
From Apple.
Now, one of them I think was from the PR group, and that's probably because of the podcast. The other one was just to me, to my Apple ID. It's interesting to see who's getting this. But anyway, everybody knows by now that it's going to happen. So I would imagine, much like the WWDC 2020 that recently, this is going to be completely virtual and be like a highly produced videos that are, filmed at Apple Park and the Steve Jobs Theater. I would hope they're going to do the same kind of thing because that was pretty good.
We were worried about it just being a press release. Remember that a couple weeks ago?
Yes. Yeah, we were.
So this is a step up.
I think it would be. And now, by the way, the headline on this invite, I skipped right over that. It says time flies. So no real mystery there as to it's going to be about the watch for sure, at least. But the flies part, why? I don't know. Try to read anything into that. Fifth anniversary of the watch, maybe?
I don't know. Some folks on Reddit were saying it's the Apple Watch Air. Flying through the air.
Well, the other rumor is the iPad Air.
Will
be announced at the same event.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right.
Now, what was really cool about this invite, though, is that if you actually, I think if you tap on the logo, in other words, if you view it on a web page on your iPhone, okay, you then tap on the logo to open Apple's Safari AR Viewer. You'll see the logo morph and change in AR, like on your desk or wherever you point it, in real time. And it swirls around from the Apple logo into a 9.15, the date, and back to the Apple logo. Very cool. Very neat. In fact, who was it? Greg Jaswiak? Mm-hmm. Did I pronounce that correctly? He showed it off in front of the Steve Jobs Theater. So that was pretty neat to see it there. I think he tweeted that. It said, see you in 7 days. But rumors have been flying around about whether this would have iPhones or not. Pretty sure that we're not going to see any iPhones at this event, although they could surprise us. I'm thinking I'm thinking this is the iPad Air 4, which, according to rumors, is going to have a new design, an edge-to-edge display, Touch ID built into the power button, perhaps, and feature a USB-C port instead of Lightning. But the bigger news is the Apple Watch Series 6, which we hope to have at least two models of. Mm-hmm. Or no, I'm sorry, of two new watches, one a Series 6 and one a replacement for the Series 3, which has been rumored to be called SE. I don't know if that's what they'll call it, special edition. I don't know. but the other features for Apple Watch Series 6 that we've talked about in the past, of course, would be the blood oxygen detector level. That would be pretty neat. And then this is something I hadn't heard before, that there might be improved electrocardiograms. That apparently with the 4 and 5, you'll get an inconclusive ECG if your heart rate's between 100 and 120. So apparently either software or hardware, either one, they're going to remove that limitation and upgrade it. So other than that, we're looking probably for maybe a new case material. We don't know. New bands, probably a little better battery life, faster speeds, all that kind of stuff. Maybe faster Wi-Fi connection.
More bands. More bands take more of my money.
Please, please. Can't wait. So anyway, this will be next Tuesday. Now our show, hopefully we can still record on Tuesday next week. Mm-hmm. And kind of do the rundown of all of this stuff. But what was your thoughts about this invite? Anything else I'm missing talking about?
For me, is I had it at the completely wrong angle for the longest time because I had scanned the floor instead of like a surface, and I'm looking at it from the top down. I'm like, I have no idea this squirrely thing until I got down to the same level. I'm like, oh, I finally see it. But for me, I figured that didn't they threaten to make the Apple Pencil work with the phone?
They have in the past, yes.
This kind of felt like here's Scribble, right? Here's Scribble, something that's in writing that you can now take for the iPad as well as your phone.
Possibly. Well, you do that with the new OS, don't you? With iOS 14.
Mm-hmm.
Or iPad, whatever version. iPad OS, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
But the other thing someone mentioned was that this whole swirling around thing and the fact that it's AR, it just will be the LiDAR that will be in the iPad, perhaps.
Yeah.
Or maybe your Apple Watch will have LiDAR. No, that's probably not going to happen. A new LiDAR sensor in the Apple Watch, Series 6.
All the things that have been created and developed and sold after Steve Jobs died, I think the pencil working on your phone would be the one that he would kibosh.
he was pretty much
against that. But I have to preface that with the fact that he didn't see he didn't see the implementation of it. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
He may have gotten on board with it.
Yeah, if you can somehow do what some of us do with our iPad, if you can use it to write on an app or on notes, then okay, all right. If you use it as a writing utensil to create content to help your life, yes. If you're using just a pointer, he wouldn't like that.
Right. Yeah, I think you're right. Not so much for navigating the interface of the OS, but as an actual pencil, it's pretty cool.
Yes.
Yeah. I think he might be on board with that, but. He's changed his mind on things in the past, though, too, I do remember. So there's a good chance he might have been okay with it. Once he looked at the numbers that it was helping to sell with the iPad, he probably would have been fine with it. Yeah. Okay. Speaking of new devices, we also had a rumor this week. It's a report. It's not really a rumor, but comes from DigiTimes. Says that Apple supply – they're the – Apple supply chain partner ASE Technology is actually they're packaging core chips for a third generation AirPods, not the Pro, but AirPods, and at least two new Apple Watch models based on its system and package technology. So this lines up kind of perfectly with what we've been talking about. So they're saying that this third generation AirPod would be released in 2021. Okay, which that also lines up with what Ming-Chi Kuo said, the analyst. And they're saying that it's going to sport an AirPods Pro-like design featuring shorter stems and in-ear tips. Well, doesn't that make them AirPod Pros?
No noise canceling, you mean?
Well, no. they would, well, I don't know. Why would you make them shorter and put in the silicone tips and not put in noise canceling?
Yeah, it just sounds like it's the hardware may be really close. It's just the technology and software wouldn't. So maybe they can sell them cheaper. So it's AirPods Pro Lite or something.
Oh, great. Now I won't be able to tell the difference between the AirPods and the Pros because they look exactly the same.
There you go.
I don't know about that. We'll have to see. And then the other thing they said, of course, was the Apple Watch models, the lineup will include the successor to the Apple Watch Series 5, as we know is 6, and a lower cost replacement for the Series 3. This AirPod thing is really strange to me. Unless they plan on doing something even better with the Pro.
Right. Well, it's still a price point too, though, Tom. It's still a price point. I mean, you can pay $250 or what's it now for the AirPods? $99?
Well, you're saying that it wouldn't have all the, then you're paying all that extra money for
technology, for
noise cancellation. That's it? Really? Okay.
Is that the only difference? Is that the only difference?
That would have to be at this point.
That'd be the only thing.
Yeah. Hey, you're right. Then that is kind of odd if you're paying. So you're going to pay $150 for noise cancellation.
Yeah, there's got to be something else going on. I don't know about that. There's something missing in this story. That may actually just be another version of the AirPods Pro, and they're confused that they're working on. Anyway, moving on. Let's talk about. There's a couple of things. Again, more patent information here. But this one's pretty interesting. I don't know if we've mentioned this before, but Apple is working on extending the Apple Watch water ejection, that great technology. They're going to bring it to the iPhone and the iPad.
That's cool.
That makes perfect sense. Yeah. So this patent, what they call systems for increased drying of speaker and sensor components that are exposed to moisture. They're saying that cameras... GPS, et cetera, functions suffer when portable electronic devices exposed to moisture. Accordingly, there is a need to expedite removal of moisture within internal cavities of the portable electronic device in order to quickly resume performing these user functions. Sounds like a robot wrote that, but that is part of the patent. Yes, and it makes perfect sense.
When my kids were much younger, they decided to somehow get Play-Doh in the microphone of their iPad. And if you can eject that, I think.
I don't know that you can, Vincent. I think you're stuck with that.
Well, it can. But it can, but instead of that high-pitched sound, you get this really low thing like this, you know.
It just
comes the Play-Doh.
It oozes out, yeah.
Yeah, it oozes out, you know.
Well, now this is for speakers, though. So you're you're stuck if it's in the microphone.
Yeah, you are.
Well, the other thing that happens, at least with the phone, and people keep it in their pocket all the time, is lint builds up in the in the lightning port.
That's true.
And or the old ones, the headphone jack port.
I didn't even think about that. Yeah.
Yeah. And those need to be cleaned out periodically. If you keep your phone in your pocket a lot, it will prevent, you know, all of a sudden the sound won't be quite right when you're listening to the headphone port they used to have them in the phones, or you'll have an issue plugging in that lightning cable, you know, just won't work as well.
So, and also I can see, cause people will inadvertently put their phone like in their bathing suit pocket and jump in the pool. I'm sure that happens every day.
Yeah.
But an iPad? I mean, what do you do with your iPad to water?
Well, you're sitting out by the pool, the iPad, it slips out of your hand, right into the water.
I can see that happening too, as much.
And these days, totally fine, except Apple would like to be able to clear the speaker.
Yeah.
But my question has been with the Apple Watch. If I do not turn that on and I submerge the watch and I take it out of the water and I realize it didn't have it on. So now I know there's water in the speaker port. Mm-hmm. If I then activate it, turn on the water mode, and then turn it off and it spits, does that clear it?
Yeah, so why not?
So you can do it post getting wet.
Yes.
I assume so.
Okay. I always wondered how that worked. That if you hadn't closed it up ahead of time, that it's too late. It got in there.
Yeah, I don't know. Does it close things up? I don't remember.
I think it does. Okay, according to this, Apple is concerned with water getting into cavities such as the ones with speaker grills and where there is an opening that extends into the cavity. These walls, the surrounding electronics of the device, are capable of carrying operational components where the sensor is capable of determining moisture. So they're saying that it's not just the speaker thing, but it gets in there. There's sensors, too.
Okay.
That will notice that it's wet. So
I'm sorry, I keep cutting you off. Go ahead.
Well, I was just speculating whether or not that those sensors would automatically turn it on if it gets wet.
Yeah. Well, I thought when you put it into water mode, all it does is kill the screen so you can't touch the screen. I didn't know if it closed anything or not.
I'm pretty sure that it does something else. To the speaker, where otherwise that ejection, or maybe the speaker already has some sort of
waterproofing.
Yeah, in it. Maybe the answer. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I just like the sound it makes. I'm sorry, it's just
me too. It's a cool sound.
It's a cool sound. It's pretty neat. And I've done that so many times where I get my watch wet, intentionally, like going to the pool or something, and I forgot to turn it on. It's like, But I just always worry I'm doing something with it, but it's never been an issue.
Yeah, I've done that, Tom. I was in the pool and I didn't turn it on. I just lifted it up, turned it on, and just went my merry way. And a half hour later, ejected it. So I think it works.
Right. And I've also had the case of where I've turned it on, gotten it completely submerged, and then forgot to clear the speaker for most of the day. And water comes out. I mean, there's a good bit of water that can get in there.
Yeah, certainly.
Yeah, more than you would think. But anyway, very interesting. We'll see what happens with that.
Yeah, it is. It's good.
let's see. Another patent Apple was granted this week was for the Apple Watch Noise app. So that came out in what version of the watch had that? Noise app.
Was
that
four? Last, well, no.
Before.
Last year, year two no. years ago.
No, I think it's yeah. It's yeah. We're going to argue over four or five. I'm thinking it was last year, wasn't it? The update that had the
I know
compass.
That, oh, three does app. Not. Three does not have the noise app, so it had to be four.
Yeah, I think so. The four.
In June of 2017, Apple hired Dr. Sumbul Desai from Stanford to work on health services for the Apple Watch. 2 years later. He actually got on stage and introduced some stuff for Apple, and one of them was the Noise app. So they got a patent for it last week. So that's interesting. Go ahead.
You know what I thought was interesting about this article? Apple's granted patent covers 54 pages of specific Noise app patent figures.
Yes.
54 pages.
Yes.
With, oh, my gosh.
With many covering dual images.
Yes.
Maybe that's why it took 2 years to get approved.
There you go. They needed – someone had to draw these pictures.
Now, what is interesting is Apple kept this a secret. They never went on record as having filed a patent for this under Apple. Hmm. And they're saying that one possible explanation is that Apple may have acquired the patent, as the sole inventor is listed as Nicholas Felton. An information designer who has no record with Apple on his LinkedIn account or anywhere else that anybody could find. So,
yeah, it was interesting. I thought
they may have purchased that. Yeah, that may have been a buy. Yeah. All right. Speaking of other rumors and things that we may see next week, how about an AirTag? Would you like to have some AirTags? Because apparently,
I could use them.
Apparently, the manual for the AirTags, some images have leaked. And it shows that they are wireless charging. Okay. Initially, we thought they might have little small like watch batteries in them, the round batteries. But apparently, they can be put on a charging mat and recharged, according to these images.
Air Power, I think, right? They're synchronized with Air Power.
Yeah. Now, well, the image just shows it syncing on an Air Power charging mat, the drawing.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, the one that they said they're not working on anymore.
This may be it. This is the announcement.
Oh, you're predicting it. Okay.
I'm thinking, I read a different article. I was looking to see whether or not you'd posted it in here, but where the new version, quote unquote, of the AirPad has magnets in it that will actually realign everything. So, you know how we have the issue with actually, you know, placing it on there in any whatever direction?
Right.
This one was, you know, they were saying that these magnets in the new phone or in the mats would actually orient it just like a watch. Ooh. On the phone.
So they're
Nice. Yeah.
Okay, so they're adding that feature, if you will, to the watch, to the phone.
To the phone, yeah.
And to the AirTags, too, apparently.
Apparently, yeah. To align these, yeah.
So we got AirPods, AirTag, and AirPower. Mm-hmm. What else can be Air? It's like they're using up all these Air words, aren't they? Mm-hmm. And when you leave the store, you leave with an Apple AirBag. Right? Yeah, there's too many Air things here.
There are, but
it's confusing.
Yeah. And what do you call something when you insert something that people, is it like an Easter egg? Is that what it's called when you insert something within something that you try to, that's like secret? Was the Air Power like an Easter egg?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's something that, I don't know. That's something everybody kind of wants, and Easter eggs usually kind of, I don't know, it's usually something that's found later, but
right, it's a little more little more hidden, or a little more what am I trying to think of, mysterious,
right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. They could blow us away. We who knows, next Tuesday they could say, here's two new watches, here's the new iPad Air, and here's AirTags, and by the way, to charge these devices, here's the Air Power.
There it is.
No, I don't think they're going to.
You can record the whole presentation now.
Well, okay. Well, let's talk about that for a second. Do you think there's anything we're missing that they might? And I think we've covered everything they could possibly announce next week, right? I don't think they'll do phones. I think that's still coming in October.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's nothing on the Apple TV or the HomePod, right? That's all going to be software updates, or there's a new Apple TV coming. I thought there was a new Apple TV that might come out this year.
Yeah, that may happen too. You're right. But that brings up a good point. Was
HomePod Mini?
What I think is going to happen is we're going to get here's all the great stuff. In 1 week, you can order the watch, and you're not going to get it for another week after that, which is going to put you almost into October. The reason I say that is the OS. I don't think the OS is going to be released to the end of the month.
We talked about that last week. I agree with you there. I think they're going to release that later.
And they have to, either that or they do another event for the phone. Two more events, actually, for the phone. They could possibly do that. But I don't know how you do a watch and ship it without shipping iOS 14 at the same time.
Yeah, they're just going to have to synchronize, like you said, synchronize the shipping based on the release.
Yeah, they're buying themselves some time. You know, 1 week we announce that there's going to be an announcement. The next week we have the announcement. The next week you can order it. And the week after that you may get it. Yeah.
They're going to get your cash 3 to 4 weeks ahead of time.
Yeah.
Because they need it. They need it. You know, let's be fair.
Yeah, you may not get your watch until... Even if you order immediately, you might not get it to the end of the month or October, right? So,
But I think that it's going to be the Apple Pencil Air that lets you draw in AR.
Oh, wait a minute, Vincent.
Yeah.
You're onto something.
That would be crazy.
That was a patent, remember? That was a patent that you could actually draw something in the air. And it would follow the motions and draw it on the thing.
Oh, man.
That was one of their, where you would like, using AR, you would have a keyboard, you know, projected on a table.
Yeah.
And you could also just move your hands around to draw with. I think I remember something about that.
Someday.
That would be awesome. That would be so cool. Take my money now. Oh, there is one more thing. What happened to the, what was it? The Air, so I'm going to call everything Air now. The studio, the over-the-ear headphones.
Oh, that's right. That was
Air Studio. Yeah. What were they called?
AirPods Pro.
AirPods Pro Studio.
AirPods Studio.
Plus.
Yeah.
Plus Studio.
Something like that. But that may be announced as well.
That's true. That's true. What do you think the price point would be on that? Like $329?
Maybe. Yeah. $349 probably.
Yeah.
That's about in line with the other stuff.
If I was still traveling on airplanes, I would seriously think about that.
Yeah. Well, I still think they're going to be pretty neat, even for doing the show. I'd love to have a wireless set like that. So, because the ones I have are falling apart right now. But I have an old cheap pair here of wired headphones that are kind of falling apart. But that's the kind of thing I'm like, shut up and take my money.
What's your balance on your credit card? Do you have enough to buy all this stuff next week?
I hope so. I gotta maybe win a few more poker games to pay for this. But
well, if you get the 12 month payment plan,
there you go. That's right. You can get everything. Yeah.
Well, you do, but if you buy 7 or 8 things, then your monthly payment is going to be a device, right? So so you're not helping yourself.
All right. I'm gonna. This is not going to be a good end of the year for my bank account. Because there's so many things Apple's going to come out with in the next few months. Absolutely crazy. All right. A couple more things here I want to get to real quick. One of them, we mentioned Google Maps was coming back to the Apple Watch. It is now available.
I used it today.
You did. Wonderful. You know what? I would love to do a review of this once you've had some time to play with it.
Yeah, I put it on my, I kind of put a list together of things I'm thinking of in the future to put on my like list.
Yeah.
And I was going to compare Google Maps and Apple Maps.
Oh, I love that.
There are some considerable differences of the interface on the watch. So, I just fired it up and used it for a short trip today and just to see how it worked. But I do that. I'll put some effort into it.
Wonderful.
And we can give you a review on it.
Yeah, can't wait. But, if you've been looking for that, it is now available. To try it out. And then there's not many times that I see a commercial and I laugh out loud. I'm alone in the room and I'm laughing out loud. Yes. But this happened, a new commercial from Apple. Something shouldn't be shared. This is a funny ad about people.
I did the same thing.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
People going around just announcing all their private stuff. And the one that cracked me up was the those two women in the office discussing the fact that they like working together but hate working with the guy who's sitting next to him.
Yeah, we hate Harry. And he's like, what?
Puke emoji. Yeah.
Yeah, puke emoji.
The delivery and the timing and of those actors was perfect. I give the director credit. And this is one of those spots that I look at having created commercials for a living, and I look at these, and it's one of those, and it doesn't happen that often, but you look at something you have this feeling of, I wish I'd done that. I wish I'd thought of that. That's the highest praise you can give from one person in that industry to another is, that's amazing. I wish I'd done that.
Super creative. Apple's done a lot of commercials and we've talked about ones we thought were good versus not good. And they had such the creative minds in the early 80s. This was one of those where first it was doing like that was a great Apple commercial. And then second, I did laugh out loud as well. I like the one with the lady with the megaphone.
Oh, yeah.
My sign-in is so-and-so-so-and-so. And she's like in front of the town hall or something.
Yeah, my credit card number is.
Yes.
Yeah. The person in the movie theater moving to her seat and she whispers to everybody along the way what her passwords are.
Yeah.
That's brilliant. And it's just Apple doubling down on privacy for the iPhone. And you know, you can argue whether they are the most private platform or not. And they do have some issues, but I think overall they are. But this is the kind of thing that can bite you if something happens, you know?
Yeah, something does happen.
Got to be careful because, you know, if they get one major leak of something or a hack, then, you know,
this
gets thrown back in your face. But
Well, I wonder how it changes the 22 pages of terms and conditions that you automatically sign up for when you do all your devices, because there's got to be something in there that even that's still going to release them from liability somewhere.
Oh, I know. I just meant in the court of public opinion.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that too.
Bad optics.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go.
Which is always worse than the court of legal sometimes, isn't it? The court of public opinion can take you down just as fast.
Yeah. You know, the whole thing with Apple and Epic, it's still going on, and I'm not going to – I don't really want to report on that every week just because it's probably going to go on forever. But they've been firing back and forth. And it's funny how the public opinion has kind of switched back and forth. You know, a lot of people on Epic's side, and now they're suddenly on Apple's side. And, you know, I don't know. Don't know how that's going to turn out. But
Epic has lost so many users. That's
what crazy. Epic has?
Epic, yeah.
Well, they had to know that was going to happen, right? No, honestly, they had to consider that. Or maybe they thought Apple would just fold here, which
possibly,
they're not doing at all.
Very Goliath.
Did you ever play Fortnite, either one of you?
Oh, my kids.
No, I haven't.
Oh, your kids do.
Oh, yeah, my kids. They play on the
Xbox. Oh, do or did? And they Switch. Okay, they still do. Okay.
Yeah.
And then the last thing I want to talk about in the news, this is very interesting when you look at the original prototypes of stuff. Someone has discovered an early Apple Watch prototype that was disguised as an iPod Nano, the case that it was in. So this was apparently used for internal testing before 2015, before it came out. And it's a security type case, which makes it look like an iPod Nano, to disguise it during transportation. So when they're moving it around, so it's kind of a security case, and kind of, if you didn't know that Apple was working on a device like that, you'd see that and not know really what it was, that it was a watch, which is kind of a brilliant idea to disguise it. Right. Mm-hmm. But right now it just kind of looks like a silicone case for the watch. You know, we've come out with stuff like this now. You know, Lago has come out with similar, not quite but something similar.
Like the pocket watch.
Yeah, like the pocket watch and stuff like that.
Do you guys remember when the rumor or the announcement or the first inkling of the Apple Watch made the public airways? So it was April 15 when it was released, right? Was it like September 14 when it was announced? Was there any rumors early that year that you remember? Because I don't. I wasn't probably following it as much as maybe you guys were. But do you remember anything?
Yeah, there were some rumors. There were some rumors leading up to that event.
Okay.
With Tim Cook. But I think at the time, I don't think the rumors were as sophisticated as they are now. And you heard a lot of stuff, you know. So you just didn't, you know, you only believed it when they said it. But I remember watching that event, hoping and praying that they would do a watch, and they did. it's funny how that's changed over time. Even when the iPhone came out in 2007 at Macworld, the event where Steve announced it blew me away because I had zero clue that was coming. None at all. Wow. And I worked for Apple at the time. You think something would have leaked with the employees or anything, but nothing. Yet Scott, who was also with me at Macworld at that event, who used to be on the show, he told me much later that he had heard some rumors and he thought that might actually happen. So it's interesting how those have changed over time, right?
The sophistication of information and people in the last 5-7 years is just exponentially better. And I think people, you know, they said better insights, better contacts, better ways to communicate. So I just think that and it's just harder and harder to keep secrets.
Yeah, and I have to think that this latest deal that happened with this event, with John Prosser saying one thing and Mark Gurman saying another thing, that may have been done on purpose by Apple to find out who the people are that are leaking.
Yeah, you know, you mentioned that, and you know, that's classic, you know, spy technique 101, right? Tell some lies to flesh out the snitch, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, the mole. Thank you. So yeah, that was a smart move.
I think it was, and it you know, that may have been Apple's deal because he was so certain. I mean,
exactly. Yeah,
you don't get that certain if someone hasn't been telling you that, you know. But
yeah, and you know, saying the rumors, I'm pretty certain it's going to be a press release. I mean, that's like Debbie Downer. I mean, who wants to read about these things? There's when that came out. And we talked about it. I said, there's no way they're just going to announce these things with a press release. Impossible. It won't happen. So, and it didn't, right? They're going to have an event. And I think that's good.
Well, it's an event online, which is.
Well, it's at least an event. At least you're going to have videos and people talking and you know, demonstrations. Right. And, you know, I know it's online. It's not as interesting.
But it doesn't just show up on their website. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right, right.
Right. Right. All right. Is anything else in the news? Right. We covered everything for this week.
No, but we're excited. 1 week from today, hopefully we'll have some really good things to talk about.
Oh, we should. We should really. We're either going to be really excited or kind of disappointed.
Wait. One week from yesterday. I'm sorry. We're doing Wednesday night this week. Exactly. So next Tuesday.
It's less than a week away. There you go.
Yeah.
All right, Chris, let's move on to what we like this week. What do you got?
Sure, Tom. So I got a couple things because they're both quick. One is I'm going to review an app called Robinhood, and you and I were texting, I think, a couple weekends ago when Apple was splitting and Tesla was splitting, and I use Robinhood for my personal stock play fund, I guess, and you use Ameritrade, right? You
said? Yep.
Okay. So I have my 401ks from all my jobs that are, you know, in mutual funds and stocks, and I have all kinds of savings, but you know, this one I kind of do just for fun. And I buy my own stock, and it's basically Apple and Tesla. So I guess I should you know, expand a little bit. But I use an app called Robinhood because you can just, you know, buy the stock, link into your bank account, and you can do the transactions. And I'm like, oh, it just showed up as an Apple Watch app. I'm thinking, oh, okay, it's kind of cool. You know, it's a very traditional app on your phone where you just you know, pick the stock you want to buy. You put the buy order in. You link it to your bank account, and you're done. It's a pretty quick transaction, and the app itself is pretty good. It's got all the stocks that you buy. It shows a graph at up and down. Gives you a green and red based on if you're making money, losing money. Very traditional stock app. It's got a couple other features too about you know, money management. So I won't get into the details there, but I'm like, okay, it's got a watch app now. And I went on the watch app and I opened it, and I was like, big time disappointment. So all it really is it just lists your stocks.
Oh, you know? Yeah.
I'm like, okay, I can put my stock app with these stocks, and that's the same thing.
Right.
So no really additional features. I did notice one thing it did do though. It kind of knows the stocks you buy. So it was kind of on the watch app. It recommended some stocks. I'm like, oh, let me see that. I went back to the watch app, and it does the same thing. I just never really picked up on it before.
Okay.
So we'll do that. And then at the top of the screen, it gives your total investment, and then your up or down for the day. Of course, you can choose if it's up or down for the day, up or down for the week, month. You know, you can pick that time frame. I do the day. So at least that's at the top. So the stock app won't have that. You know, that stock app is this kind of stock for. No pun intended, stock for your stocks. This one at least gives you it's a stock app. This one gives you, you know, money at the top. So I mean, it's okay. Nothing great, but at least it's another app that's on your phone that I use and look at. So that's the Robinhood app review. And then another fun thing, I guess, it has nothing to do with Apple Watch or technology, is I think maybe everyone that has DirecTV got free NFL Sunday ticket. So AT&T, thank you very much. You know, I have a free NFL Sunday ticket to watch NFL football games that may or may not be played, but it looks like they are going to start tomorrow. So hopefully that'll be, you know, nice to see that. And I can watch the Cleveland Browns now every week.
Yeah. Well, so, that is interesting. You know, the AT&T, you talk about AT&T and buying DirecTV. I think we mentioned earlier, they're looking to sell them now.
I didn't know that.
They're looking, really? AT&T is trying to get rid of DirecTV. Yeah, they're, I guess it's been a real money loser for them. Hence well, the free NFL ticket. I think a lot of people during this pandemic, staying home, taking a real hard look at their costs, you know, their budget. I think a lot of people are dropping that type of service.
Well, you know, I have the bar that I own, and obviously it's been in duress for 6 months. We're doing okay. Mm-hmm. But you know, I host the Green Bay Packer football games. And if you know anything about Green Bay Packers, anyone listening, devoted fans, like life or death. And we get huge crowds, and I would pay for the NFL Sunday ticket at my bar, and it was like $4,000. So hopefully no one from AT&T is listening, but I'm going to go try to see if I can use my personal iPad to stream the NFL Sunday ticket at my bar and save a lot of money. But
I'm never going to visit your bar, by the way.
No, you're not.
I'm a Bears fan. I'm a Bears fan.
Hey, Bears fans show up for the Bears-Packers game. They show up.
But by the way, we're not just doing, for that game, yeah.
They do. But we're not doing any of the games this year. Obviously, we can't have 150 people in there at any given time, which we usually get. But we get Vikings fans and Bears fans. Those are the ones that show up, Tom. So, nice. But anyway, that's what I like this week. The Robinhood app was kind of okay, and the NFL Sunday ticket was a big thumbs up.
Yeah, I sometimes put my, if there's something going on with Apple stock wise, I have a watch face that's the time at the top, and it's just that giant complication of the stock, and that's it.
Nice.
Yeah, with the new watchOS 7, that's one of the large complications you can put on there. I put the stock on there last week or week before, whenever that all the splitting was going on. And that's kind of the way I kept track of it. But all right. I was hoping to talk about ordering a new watch, but that will have to wait until next week. What I like this week is a new webcam that I have. I was looking for a webcam that was not just a USB, but a USB-C for my laptop, which only has 4 USB-C ports. I hate running a webcam or any other device for that matter through an adapter. Because, and I always have the feeling that something's being lost in the adaption, if you will, you know, specifically speed. I know it's probably not, but you're putting a lot of faith in that little adapter you bought on Amazon. So the only one I could find that got really good ratings is from Logitech, and it's called the Logitech Stream Cam. And this little device has an interesting little look to it, but it comes in either graphite color or you can get it in white. I got the white one. And the first, let me go through the specs of this first. It's a full HD 1080p at 60 frames per second. So pretty good.
That's a good camera.
Yeah, it has facial tracking for autofocus and exposure, which is great. And something I think is interesting is also it has full HD vertical video. So the camera comes with a bracket that it pops into, and you can simply pop it out, turn it, pop it back in, and now it's a vertical video if you need that.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, very simple. Now, the bracket, it comes with, it folds out and will kind of balance on the top of your computer screen, or either your laptop or desktop or any other surface. The bracket also has a standard, it's got a separate piece that the camera can snap into that has the standard thread for fitting into a tripod shoe. So you can put this on a tripod if you really need to. It comes with Logitech Capture software, which is very interesting. I haven't really used it, but this software, if you had to, you could actually film and edit all of this, everything you do in one piece of software. So it's kind of an all-in-one solution. I found the image quality excellent, although my first big use of this was a live Facebook video that we did. And the only issues I had with it was my internet bandwidth, which I've since upgraded. And note to self, turn off all Wi-Fi during something like that at the house, because my house is completely full of internet devices, and that did quite the number on the picture quality after a while. Mm. So anyway, overall, this is a great camera. In fact, it may be hard to find online these days without paying a premium. It's sold out on Logitech's website, but you can find it on Amazon, but you're going to probably pay extra. It doesn't come directly from Amazon. It comes from other sellers. Mm-hmm. It's normally $169, but I've seen it go for even $100 over that. So again, it's just, demand right now for webcams is very high. So you can check it out. I think B&H Photo may have it, or Best Buy as well. Now, the only drawbacks I see to this is the USB-C cable, which is also a benefit for me, but it's also a drawback because it's hardwired to the camera. So no replacing it if it gets damaged, and you're kind of stuck with the 5-foot length of the cord.
No kidding. Yeah. Why would they do that?
I don't know. It's hardwired. And also,
I mean, how much?
Go ahead.
I say, how much does it cost just to put the plug in there and make it, you know, in and out and
right.
replaceable? Oh, gosh. Okay.
I don't know. It must have been cheaper to do it that way. Although this is one of the most expensive webcams of this type. The other minor ding is there's no privacy cover for it. Right. So to, you know, to hide the lens kind of thing. But minor
put a sock on it, so.
Yeah, those are minor things. But it is a pretty neat looking little camera. So anyway, the next Facebook Live show that we do, I'm going to be using this camera, so you'll be able to see the quality of it. and I would hope to do that whenever the new watch arrives. We'll do a live unboxing. How's that? On the show. I'll set this thing up and you can see what it looks like. So
that would be really cool, mm-hmm. to tell you the truth. I enjoy watching that.
All right, Vincent, what do you got?
So in the last couple of weeks or so, we've been trying to prepare for, you know, the start of school. We've got a couple of kids that, you know, now doing virtual learning from home, and they had some really ancient iMacs. We're not quite sure with like the Zoom and all the things that they have to do at home now. You know, we're like freaking out, trying to figure out like where to put them. They have to have the webcams on. They have to have mics and stuff working and all this stuff. So we're in a rush to figure out where to buy. And you know, it sounds really bad, but I'm spoiling the crap out of my kids here in terms of giving them some new Macs, right? They need. Well, I'm not going to go out and buy a PC. so basically try to figure out like, okay, where can we buy new Macs in a reasonable way, pay it off over time, et cetera, right? So you can buy brand new ones, right? But, you know, being bad parents and not preparing for this thing, Apple's 13-inch MacBooks or MacBook Pros aren't going to be available. That the ship times are like October 1st now for like a base model. Mm-hmm. So it's going to take forever. And in order to take advantage of paying over time, you would have to buy, you know, basically retail and sit there and wait. You could go out to Best Buy, you could go out to B&H or Costco or whatever like that, and just kind of just plunk down your credit card and get those delivered. I know that B&H also gives you like, they have some models that are on sale right now. It's like a few hundred dollars off some of like the older models, but still the May 2020 models, the 8 gig, 256. But the place that we ended up on was the Apple Store.
Right.
There is a refurb section.
I was going to say, you got to go there. Right?
You got to go for the refurb. So you can go into your Apple Store app, or you can go to the Apple Store online and essentially go for it's like /shop / refurbished or something like that. Or you can just search for refurbished and you'll get a whole list of stuff. The thing about the refurbished is that you can get it immediately because it's pretty much in stock. These are items that folks have either returned for some reason, misconfigured it and sent it back, or there's some sort of technical issue. But I've purchased refurbs in the past, and they have just been, I mean, I look at it from the fact that Apple's had a chance to look at it twice.
Exactly.
Right. So perfectly good. They go through the, you know, whatever 100-point inspections that they go through. You can find Apple Watches and Apple Pencils in here, but I did read that Apple Watches that require any replacement parts are not included. So you won't get any Apple Watches that had any parts replaced. So it would be pretty much a brand new one, probably just returned, you know, for some odd reason. They are, you know, they you can still buy Apple Care for them. You can get, you know, the traditional up to 3 years. They come with a 1 year limited warranty already. It comes with pretty much everything. It does come in a different box. So if you're keeping the box for some odd reason, I don't know. that's it. But you know, that's a pretty good place to do it. However, this is the thing that caught me after going through that whole process of trying to figure out how to pay for this thing and, you know, getting your you know, payment options. The refurb stuff does not qualify for the monthly payments. Just But I did put it on my Apple Pay card. That does give you your 3%.
Yep.
In terms of Apple Pay Cash, so we got a big chunk of change there back, and you could technically break up the payments if you want to using the credit card on there. So that was my adventures. We got them today. We set them up with the iClouds and everything. So far, so good. And getting prepped.
They were MacBook Pros.
MacBook Pros at 13 inches. And you know, yeah, we did. They were $200 off each, and they came with the 512 half terabyte instead of the traditional 256 for the same price, if not lower. Your regular. So.
Yeah, that's the only thing about Apple's laptops is you're stuck with what memory comes with.
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the only thing I wish I'd gotten more of in my laptop. But
it is that.
Yeah. Now, you speaking of boxes, you're talking about the boxes that things come in.
Yeah.
I recently did a what's her name? The woman who cleans everything out, Marie Kondo.
Yeah, Kondo.
Kondo.
Yep.
I did that. I was notorious for holding on to device boxes.
Yeah.
You were? Really?
Old phones, iPads, any device, a Ring doorbell, you name it, I kept the box.
Yeah.
Really?
Well,
oh gosh.
The reason I do that is, number one, I keep it in case something's wrong with it, I can send it back.
Yeah, sure.
I put
sure.
it away and I forget about it. And after a while, you've got a pile of boxes. So I recently went through, opened up every box, took out all the relevant stuff, right? So it's just left is the boxes and threw them into the recycling bin. It was hard to do for some of them. I have some old iPhone boxes in there.
Yeah.
that I no longer had the phone for, but I had the box.
I used the boxes for, and the boxes can be used for organizational things.
Yes.
I used it to organize my medicine cabinet.
Oh, perfect. Well, yeah. I tossed them, and I can't tell you how many power bricks and wired headphones I found that were just left in the
no
box.
Kidding.
Yeah, just left in the box.
Oh, gosh.
So I've got a bunch of those now, brand new. Anyway, it felt good, though, to get rid of that stuff.
You should have taken a picture of everything, Tom.
The relevant ones I did. The relevant ones I did, along with the serial numbers on the back or whatever, you know. Any information was on the box. I took photos of that. But
did you still have the box for your Newton?
No, that that's
long gone.
Long gone.
Okay.
Along with the Newton, I bet up in my attic, I probably have a couple of old iMac boxes from way back when that.
Wow.
I just haven't gone up there to do anything with them, you know. But
I still have my MacBook Pro, the tuxedo one from the. The early, late 1990s.
Nice.
It's on a shelf.
Wow.
So it's sitting there. Yeah.
Yeah. Love
it's huge.
That.
Huge.
Oh, you know what else I found? I found a lot of Apple stickers.
Really?
Yeah. I got a pile of those things now. I don't know what to do with them, but I have. I don't throw those out. So.
Yeah.
Well, terrible. I throw my boxes out.
You can put all of them on there.
Yeah. You should just put them all over everything. My bumper should be nothing but just rows and rows of Apple stickers. White logos. All right. Well, anything else before we set an Apple Watch reminder for our Apple event on Tuesday?
already done.
Great.
That's true.
Cannot wait. All right. Well, that's all the time we have for this episode. Thank you, Vincent and Chris, for being here. I really do appreciate it. Thank you to everyone out there for listening. If you'd like to support our show, check out our Patreon page. It's at patreon.com/AppleWatchcast. It's a great way to help us to continue to produce this show. So check it out at patreon.com/AppleWatchcast. Links to stuff we talk about can be found on our website at applewatchcast.com. You can subscribe to us in Apple Podcasts or any other podcast service you prefer. If you have a question about the Apple Watch or about our show, send us an email at comments@applewatchcast.com. Look for us and follow us on Facebook and Twitter. As always, thanks for listening. Stay safe. And until our next show, you're on your own time.
Remember to rate us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts.